everybody. Welcome to another special edition of Objection, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery. This is Dave Johnson, joined, as always, by Dan Mancini.
Hello there.
And we usually break this out, Dan, for, you know, like a holiday, like a federal holiday, right? We'll come up with, right. And we were actually toying around with the idea, maybe we might do this, an objection type of Oscars, right? I think we had some pretty good ideas.
Yes.
I mean, of course, it'd be awards given to old white men, but still.
You should win, right, the awards to old white men. I think we discussed doing our Oscar predictions a week after the Oscars.
Yes. You know. So that's still being worked around. But, you know, before we get a proper objection, we thought it might be fun to bring in our Canadian brother, Steve Power, to talk a little bit about, yes, Willow, which is finally coming to Blu-ray this Tuesday, and I don't know if I'm prepared for that. It's shocking me as much as when it was announced for DVD, but Steve, welcome.
You are drunk.
I am, yes.
And when you are drunk, you forget.
Steve, this is war, not agriculture.
Oh.
Now, Dan, I'll get right into this. This is kind of like a little bit outside of your wheelhouse when you were kind of like, for me, you know, for me, it was like one of those things I kind of grew up with, you know, and it was kind of built in. So that was a little bit outside your wheelhouse, but you do find the movie enjoyable. Yes.
I do enjoy it. It's a little bit outside my wheelhouse because I was 17 years old when it came out.
Yes.
So I was sort of outside the perfect window for seeing it, but you know, it's still fun.
Yeah, and
Mad Mardigan is still awesome.
Mad Mardigan is awesome, and we're gonna get right into that nitty gritty because I don't know if there is. I don't know. What do you think that Dan and or Steve? What is there? What do you think is like the common perception of Willow? Like lame, okay, fun? Does it matter if you were a certain age when you watched it? I'm actually kind of interested in what the take is.
I think sadly, it's almost more an that movie. Kind of, mm-hmm. It's just kind of a forgotten movie, I find. Yeah. A lot of people I talk to don't even know what it is, you know? It's like, Willow? Huh? They kind of get that eyes glassed over look and just start whistling to themselves.
Well, isn't that, that's how you're always, that's how people in Newfoundland always react anyway.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay, it's one of those, I mean, it was fantasy before Lord of the Rings, obviously, long time before. And so, you know, I think there's also sort of an attitude of, oh, you know, Willow, it's one of those movies like Howard the Duck that George Lucas tried to make and didn't work out.
Nice.
And that's sort of their take, but this is definitely not Howard the Duck.
I'm glad that you went there, though. I'm glad you went to the Howard the Duck. Well, that's excellent. Although Willow probably could have used a little more, what was the name of the Neutron? What was the name of Howard the Duck's laser weapon there? The Neutron Disintegrator?
Oh, yeah.
Is that possibly what it was? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with it could have used a little more human female on duck action.
Some interspecial action. Yeah, that. Or some full duck nudity. Some full frontal duck nudity as well.
Yes.
My mind is going to places that I dare not repeat.
Yeah, this is not a Howard the Duck podcast. Not at all.
Thankfully.
This is thankfully not. So, yes. maybe it's not super contrarian to adore this movie because I think it certainly has its fans and followers, but I don't think it's an overstatement to say that's probably a lot of people may be ambivalent towards it or just kind of dismissive of it. But for me, and I'll get started with I just have very fond memory. Like I was 10 when it came out, and my dad took me to see it for my birthday. You know, so right away there's that kind of built into it. But it was just so badass for this PG movie, which again, if anything, it's infamous for having some pretty wild action for a PG movie, I always thought. But, you know, for a 10-year-old who doesn't go to the theater much, but goes to the theater for this special occasion, to have Willow be one of your first, you know, legit movie-going experiences, 10 or, I guess it was 10, whatever, it was my birthday, so, and I was young, so that definitely, you know, left an imprint on me. So it was just the whole experience right off the bat was memorable. And then, I mean, if you think about it, put yourself in the shoes of a 10, 12-year-old, not literally because now we get this podcast flagged by the FBI, I think, but I mean.
Or we'd hurt our feet.
That's true. I mean, you have to say, seeing Willow for the first time and you're that young is awesome, you know.
Yes, and I have to say, it points to how badass the 80s were. that movie was not PG-13. Pretty much in the 80s, a character had to rip the heart out of another character for it to make PG-13.
That's right. Absolutely right. I mean,
or that was why PG-13 was created.
Right, exactly.
Look back at that PG rating. In fact, the up-close and personal sword penetration shot where Tail gets it in the gut, I believe that was edited out in like some European releases, I believe, but maybe I'm off. But I mean, that's pretty bodacious, right? I mean, there are guys getting impaled with spears, and I mean, Kale just gets wrecked in that fight with Matt Marquin, which is which is super.
But it's it was the 80s. You throw that up against Conan the Barbarian, it looks tame by comparison. Yeah. So they thought, little kids can handle this.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like geysers of blood are coming out or anything.
But even then, there was still like the troll ripping its skin off. That was pretty gross.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, it was just edgy enough to be like...
Those hounds are terrifying.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just edgy enough for a 10-year-old kid to think like, ooh, this is kind of cool and edgy, man, without it being, traumatic, I suppose. So, Steve, what's your Willow origin story?
I saw it opening night in theater. I think I was 10. It opened May 88, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I must have been 10. I must have been 10 at that point. I turned 11 in 88. But, I think it must have been 10. And it was myself and my dad. And me and dad, we shared a lot of movies. Dad was an avid movie watcher, and he loved having me sit down and watch movies with him. And when we got our first machine, our first Beta back in the early 80s, I mean, most of Dad's movies were R-rated action movies and comedies. And I mean, I was pretty well versed in stuff like, Police Academy and Airplane, DC Cab, all of this kind of stuff. Lethal Weapon, I'd seen Lethal Weapon 2 or 3 times at this point. Like all of the big action movies, Predator and Commando, all of this stuff. Like there was never really an age restriction in my house because Dad just enjoyed me sitting on the couch watching a movie with him, And I had a lot of memories, like fond memories of sitting down with Dad and watching movies, but that was one of our first theatrical movies. Yeah. And, I sat down and I watched the Star Wars movies or whatever, and Dad didn't really enjoy science fiction. He wasn't really heavy into sci-fi until later. And, he wouldn't sit down and watch Star Wars or Batman or something like that with me, but, we always watched our westerns and our war movies and whatever else. And for him to sit down and watch Willow in theater with me and love it so much. And then later that weekend, we both went again. Like he said to me, you want to go see Willow again? Okay, let's go. That kind of thing. Because he loved it. He thought it was fantastic. And then when it came out on home video on Beta, of course we had at the time, I picked up a copy on Beta when one of our local video stores was selling off all their Beta cassettes. And I still remember that the tape used to knurl up right after Willow got to the island and he was walking around looking for Finn Raizel, it'd start going blah, 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 blah. But
you guys are watching that all the time, right?
We watched it. Yeah, we watched it, between myself and Dad, we must have sat down and watched that movie 30, 40, 50 times until I was a teenager, And it was just, I got a lot of fond memories because it's one of maybe 7 or 8 movies that me and Dad really shared a love for, And like, now, when I went back and I started watching it earlier, just like it all came. I mean, it's fairly recently Dad's been gone, so it's kind of one of those things that I guess I got a whole new respect for the movie now. I got a whole new love for the movie. I always loved it, but I got a whole new respect for it now,
I think it was that kind of event feel, and you're kind of sharing that moment, and that's kind of cool,
Yeah, and I mean, the only other movie, believe it or not, that he really took to like that so much was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Which is how bizarre, right? But that was the only other theatrical film that Dad really, I remember Dad going and watching Ninja Turtles by himself one day while I was shopping for Christmas presents for him and Mom, that kind of thing, right? But, it's just Willow. I mean, I always loved it. I've seen it hundreds of times. I remember. I think I must have been 6th grade. I think when it came out on video, I remember writing my speech for public speaking that year on Willow and fantasy movies.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, we were big Dungeons and Dragons geeks and all of that kind of stuff too at that point. Hang on, now someone who hangs out on the internet being a Dungeons and Dragons geek, no way.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were big. We were little D&D geeks and stuff, so Willow was, right up our alley.
Yeah, it was on, I can't, like, we had a video of it, and I'm not sure, we either owned the video or, like, it was on TV and we taped it off TV. I think it was on TV at some point, we taped it off TV. But me and my brother would watch that over and over again, you know? Yeah. And I remember those were the days of, like, when you were trying to play the VCR like a harp, you know, pause it just before the commercial break. And unpause it just in time, so it's a seamless transition.
Yeah.
Could you talk about being barbarians, right?
And I always hate, you know, when you come in like that 2 seconds after the commercial break is over.
Like you had, because you got that lag. So
you drop the remote or something.
You've got to know your machine.
Or the network dicks you over by like there's a pause between the commercials thinking, oh, this is where, you know, Will is coming back, but it's just another Hyundai commercial.
Darn it, I got 3 seconds of that stupid Empire Carpet commercial.
That's right. It's an art. It was an art form. But yeah, we watched the crap out of that video. And like to the point where, you know, I taped the soundtrack from the videotape just to listen to because it was so cool, you know?
It was actually one of the first CDs I ever purchased when I bought a CD player back in, I must have been around 92 or 93.
Nice.
You know, right alongside an Iron Maiden and a Metallica CD, here was the soundtrack for Willow.
Nice. All right, let's start off with let's get right into a quick lightning round. Favorite / badass moments in Willow. All right, lightning round. So Dan, why don't you start off?
I think the Kale kill.
It is awesome. And like everything leading up to it's great. You know, because. Because his buddy Eric, you know, bites the big one, and then Matt Madigan's pissed, and he kind of does the stud walk, right? You know, he's like just
yes,
he scuttles two or three guys along the way.
That's right. He's like shooting filthy looks at Kale, kills a couple guys, and then you know, then just kind of they just kind of wail on each other, and it's just a drawn out kill on the bridge there. I mean, it's like I think about 2 swords in the gut. And then the impale, and then he spits on him and tosses him over, you know?
It is tough.
And there's that awesome final shot of him on the ground. With
that's right.
I mean, 3 swords splayed out of him, you know?
I mean, Pat Roach at the height of his powers, and, like, a legitimate role for our man Pat Roach, too, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
great. Pat Roach, the great.
Some speaking parts. So it was good to see Pat Roach rocking it.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that when I sit down and watch this with Luke that his immediate reaction is, I want to be General Kale for Halloween this year.
You've got to grow a beard first, son.
General Kale. I remember, like, watching the trailers for that movie. Like, watching the trailers for Willow and seeing General Kale, I'm like, is that dude really a skeleton? You know? That's how effective it was for me. So
we just thought it was, like, the coolest looking helmet ever. So every crappy Dungeons and Dragons character we had for like a year afterwards had a skull mask.
I think a General Kale Halloween costume would be awesome, and you should go as the head thuggy guard.
Yes,
it should be a Pat Roach Halloween. You know, we can make it a Facebook group. I'll go as the Nazi Pat Roach as the Nazi commander with a
the shirtless Nazi.
Yeah, the shirtless Nazi.
The Nazi mechanic.
The Nazi mechanic. Yeah, that'd be great. Steve, badass moment in Willow.
The Mad Mardigan and Eric exchange in the Crow's Cage.
Pretty good.
Yes.
I love the dialogue in that scene, man. I absolutely love it.
That's right.
Like, it just hints at such a big world, you know?
Yeah. I love the prep for the assault on the cursed castle there, where kind of Mad Mardigan just kind of, because up to that point, it was kind of cool, you know? I mean, he was doing cool stuff, but they were always kind of mitigated, like, the wagon chase was awesome and still is an awesome set piece. And I really think stunt guys broke their necks doing that set piece. but he does it all in, like, drag, right? So it's a little – like, he's got the dress on and the – so it's a little – it's, like, not quite super badass because he's pulling coconuts out of his bra, right? and then the sledding thing is pretty fun, but that kind of ends with some fun slapstick. But, it, you know, when it gets to, you know, to arming the castles, when – he really kind of gets into his own, and he's lethal.
He doesn't just put on any armor. He puts on the king's armor.
He puts on the king's armor, sets those traps, and then he just starts, like, just brutally murdering dudes. You know,
I don't just have crossbows. I got crossbows with knives on the end of them.
So, that whole build-up was just Yeah, it's just great. And just like he puts together the Goonies booby traps and just starts wasting dudes. So that's pretty fantastic. And just by being his badass self, completely seduces the hot Sorsha, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And she just stands there slack-jawed, right? Just like, I want your baby inside me, you know?
Giving him the F me eyes.
Yeah, and then can I just say, like, you know, Joanne Wally did a lot to push me into puberty pretty quickly, you know? one more round of badassness from Willow. Dan, you got another one? Moment that
I think the hounds are pretty.
There, because it's practical too.
Very,
you know?
Creepy. Yeah, it's like isn't it just like dogs with masks?
They glued some stuff on like Dobermans. That's great.
But those are some creepy masks that they have on those dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like part pig, part wolf.
And remember, we like kind of like it's a gruesome opening when they essentially like maul and devour the woman. You know,
the nursemaid,
right?
Yeah.
That's like right off the bat you get. You know, it's like, yeesh, that's what we're in store for. So, and then Vankar coming through like a stud, right, with his his dog killing. That's pretty sweet. Steve?
I was about to say pretty much any moment on screen with Vankar, but...
Vankar!
lightning round. I'm not going very fast for a second round here. Probably the tent scene, man. Murdigan and Sorsha in the tent.
Yeah, that's good. That's good
stuff.
Yeah. That's hot stuff, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you know, like the way it ends, you know, he just stands up and cuts the tent down and, you know, yeah.
Steals the kiss.
Kilmer's bafflement.
Through yeah. His, I don't love her. Fast. She kicked me in the face.
That's right. That was good. I mean, he really turns on the charm offensive in that movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, a little trivia with the Blu-ray coming. You saw it on the DVD, but when you look in that scene after the tent where they jump on the sled and, you know, the shield and go on the sled ride, there's a scene where they're sliding down and a bunch of Nakmar guys are chasing them, and there's a guy in the far left, a stuntman who trips and falls on his face in the snow. You need to spool that up. It's pretty fun. It's like Stormtrooper banging his head on the door type of stuff. So, and then my last one was I'm going to have to go with just another nod towards the violence that you had here. And it's kind of a throw-off gag, but it's a big siege against Badmore's castle. But Eric slits the throat of the guy in charge of the oil and just dumps this oil on a group of guys, and their screams just echo throughout. That is harsh. That is harsh stuff.
It's such a great action sequence, though. Like, so well put together.
It really is. I mean, it's legitimately thrilling. I mean, has Ron Howard really, what kind of action stuff has Ron Howard done action stuff like that since?
Pure, like, real action.
You know.
Yeah. Pure action, I don't think so. Like, there's, I mean, some tense stuff in...
Like Ransom, right?
Yeah, and, Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons have their tense, like, their tense sequences.
But, like, but no, like, legit blockbuster action
sequences. No,
right? So, yeah, I mean... I think he deserves credit for staging that stuff. You know,
I agree. I think he did a bang up job, and I think the movie looks absolutely amazing, like costume design and stuff like that. It's got a look that's all its own, man.
Yeah, you can tell they put some effort into it. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take on the other side. How about little foibles in Willow, just to show that we're not just lathering on the praise. But is there ever anything that kind of sort of bugged you, and it's okay to admit?
I haven't got much.
Okay, I'm going to give you one. I did, okay. as fun as the reveal was, how did they dig all those huge horse pits within like 3 hours, right? After coming back from pig transformations.
Okay, they were really shallow and they had the horses lying down.
I just don't know.
There you go.
Any Nakmar watchmen, I mean, with the salt would have maybe picked up on that. But I'm going to chalk it up to some Finn Rizal magic. Cloaking.
There you go.
How's that sound?
Mm-hmm. Dynamite.
And the brownies covered a lot of terrain with their tiny little legs, I have to say. So if they hitched a ride on an owl, that's one thing. So
Gophers, owls. Damn you, Dave. Willow is infallible.
It is infallible. That's all I got. How about that? That's all I got. By the way, this episode of Objections brought to you by Blackroot. It'll put hair on your chest. Yes.
You never give a baby Blackroot. Doctors advise not to give children Blackroot. It may put hairs on their chest.
Okay, good. I'm glad that there wasn't a whole outpouring of negativity about that.
I honestly can't. I think it's because the movie has been something that I've enjoyed for so long, and I've never really taken time off. Like, you know, it's not one of those things that I rediscovered when I got older. It's something that I've always had.
Yeah, that you always – yeah, same here. Like, it's
– you know?
I've always said it's my favorite movie. Is it objectively rather the best movie ever made? Of course not. But, you know, all that, you know, in experiencing it that way and kind of growing up with it, it's always been my favorite movie. You know,
yeah, it's a great movie. I guess if I had to pick out anything, it might be the pacing. The middle act is a little on the slow moving side, but I'm so intimately familiar with it that right. I don't notice.
Now, a lot of the action is backloaded, but it's a great payoff, though. You're getting, you kind of get, like, again, you kind of get Mad Morrigan being really kind of dope, and Kale's been invincible for so long, right? Although does Kale really, like, exert any money? He wipes out some dudes when he's got the baby in one hand, right, and he goes flying out of the castle.
Kale's badassery is more presumed.
Yeah, I think so.
Than demonstrated, I think.
It's like, if that guy has that mask, he did something to earn it, right?
Yeah, and that voice.
Yeah. Kill the beast! Find the baby! Right.
Mm-hmm. Find the child!
And some, you know, Willow's also known for some pretty sweet proto-CGI, right?
With Yes, the old morphing.
I mean, it's really kind of cool. It's an interesting little examination of Hollywood effects, because there's just different, because you got the stop motion stuff with the dragon, right? So, I mean, that's essentially a stop motion model, right?
And then the Ibersisk?
Yeah, the Ibersisk, right? So then you've got, like, practical, the practical dogs and their monster makeup and all that stuff. And then you've got some kind of a glimpse of what's to come, you know, with the CGI. So it's kind of an interesting time capsule as far as visual effects go. I always thought, so.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, I don't think Lucas gets enough credit for essentially creating a new fairy tale.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's like, legit. In terms of, it's got all the darkness that real fairy tales have. You know, I mean, it gets pretty dark at points.
It is a pretty intense movie.
You know?
Right.
And it's this weird mashup of, like, a female version of Moses and the hidden fortress again.
That's right.
Which is kind of cool, and it works, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it does recycle some of the same tropes as Star Wars as well. Like, you know, not to go scholarly, because I hate when the movie is referred to in a scholarly fashion, but the whole hero's journey and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you almost kind of get the parallels between Willow and Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Mad Mardigan, you know, like, and C-3PO and R2-D2, and you've got the brownies, you know.
Right.
And, you know, like, to be fair, they're tropes for a reason, too. They're kind
of
high stuff.
But it's, you know, it is just, I adore the movie. I really do.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, like, a lot of people were, you know, you're Star Trek or you're Star Wars guys, but I really kind of obsessed over Willow. Like, I can tell you things like Eric's last name, you know, and stuff like
that. Nice. What is it? Quick.
Thalbriar.
Oh, impressive.
But, yeah, no, it's one of those movies. It's just where I followed it for so long. It has all the stuff there, but it's kind of cool that it's not as, you know, socially prevalent as Star Wars or Star Trek, and it doesn't have, I guess, the negative connotations that go along with it. Like, I'm kind of glad there was only ever the one movie, you know?
Yes. And I had a friend who read the novelized sequels, but I guess
I've read them as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Shadow, no, they weren't very good.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They're kind of obtuse, to say it like this.
Well, for some reason, they call Willow Thorn, and they kill off Mad Mardigan, and
it's like killing off Hicks. Yeah, come on now.
It was like if they made, you know, a direct-to-television miniseries sequel to Willow is what they kind of read.
Like Ewoks Battle for Endor.
Or, you know, like they went back into the fourth Indiana Jones movie and it just felt like a big reunion picture or something. I mean,
yeah, that's right. Nice. So Blu-ray coming out this Tuesday. All the word of mouth is like it's a stunner. right? That's kind of what you've heard, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah, so
It looks really good on a 100-inch screen.
All right, so 100-inch screen, spool it up because that's the proper way to to watch Willow for sure. But yeah, certainly my favorite movie, something I've been psyched about forever, and something that I anticipate showing to my kids at some point. It will be an interesting, that is the ever present like question. Will our kids enjoy the movies that we adore so much?
You just never know.
You just never know. Like, would it be heartbreaking if, my son someday said, this movie sucked? Oof, that'd be rough. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, I'll just keep pumping Blackroot in. Pumping in the Blackroot. So, all right, any closing thoughts, Sean, before we kind of wrap this up? Dan, anything? Closing thoughts?
Go buy Willow.
Nice. Nice. Steve?
I hope now that Disney owns everything LucasArts, they actually try to revisit it.
Or give us an XBLA PSN title of the Willow arcade game.
There you go.
Willow arcade quarter devourer.
The NES game. The NES game was amazing.
Oh, was it? I didn't play the NES game.
Zelda clone.
I just played the arcade game, which was a shoot 'em up. Pretty so it was super hard. But it had all like the iconic moments in it. You're on the wagon, chase and all that. So
they need a PS4 version where you can see like every hair on Mad Mardigan's head.
I'm not sure. Really beautifully textured bird poop.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Well, that'll be this edition of the of Objection. What we'll kind of call that. It was pretty upbeat. It wasn't as cynical or douchey as it could have been. So.
It's hard to be downbeat when you're talking about Willow.
That's true.
Come on.
That's true. I agree. I think that if anything could penetrate the cold, dark hearts of the old white man cabal, it's a Blu-ray disc of Willow. So
yes,
maybe if you're listening and you're looking for that special gift for that special old white man cabal member, please consider giving Willow to them.
Yeah, and the old white man cabal likes this movie, even though they are typically the group of people who are after the babies who are put in the river.
That's true. Yes, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, maybe they enjoy the old woman, the old white woman cabal there. That's
how good Willow is.
That's right.
They love this movie even though
they do love it.
Killing babies is, just a day's work for them.
That's right. That's right.
And if you can't find a place that sells it, just go in the direction the bird is flying.
That's right. Yes. I like it. Ignore the bird. That's pretty good.
Billy Barty. We went through this whole thing. We didn't mention Billy Barty.
I know. Billy Barty.
The late great.
Yeah, the late great Billy Barty. From Willow to Masters of the Universe. Fantastic. Fantastic transition. Ah, man. So, all right. I think that is this edition. So, thank you for listening. And, Dan, there's only one thing left to say.
Thanks, 10 points easy.